Welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, broadcasting programs from radio's golden era. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. In this hour, Westerns. Later on, we hear the Cisco Kid from 1948. Right now, it's Fort Laramie from October 14th, 1956 on CBS. Raymond Burr, Harry Bartell, Jeanette Nolan, and Howard McNear star in the story Still Waters.
Captain Lee Quince. Specially transcribed tales of the dark and tragic ground of the wild frontier. The saga of fighting men who rode the rim of empire. And the dramatic story of Lee Quince, Captain of Cavalry.
Captain?
Oh, Mr. Syberts. The men looked fine, I thought.
Well, yes, sir. They looked all right.
Good drill. Good parade.
Yes, sir, but actually, I was more concerned with... Well, weren't you listening, sir?
I was watching, Lieutenant. I almost never listened to a dress parade.
No, I mean the band.
The band seemed to march real good.
Captain, the music. Frankly, I thought it was terrible.
Oh?
Usually it just sounds bad. But today it was awful. Well, didn't it sound strange to you, Timmy, off key?
I was watching B Company, Mr. Syberts. Marched just fine.
I don't know. Maybe it's my ears.
More likely my ears. I don't pay much mind to the music. When I was a boy, my mother thought I had a promising voice. So I'd sing for her. And the hogs would come running. Then the neighbors got so they'd come running, too. I got a lot of encouragement to quit singing.
But just because you couldn't sing well, Captain, doesn't mean you don't have an appreciation for music.
Oh, I think it does, Mr. Syberts. You see, I wasn't just obliging my mother. I thought I sounded fine, too.
Well, you were considerably younger, sir. I'm sure you've outgrown all that by now. After all, with your mother to encourage you, you couldn't be blamed for thinking...
Around her neck, she wore a yellow ribbon.
Captain.
She wore it in the winter and the merry month of May. And when they ask her why...
Really, Captain, it was more about the regimental band than anything else. And if you didn't notice the band...
Far away. She wore it for her lover who was far, far away.
Yes, sir. Well, I'm beginning to think I was very mistaken, if you'll excuse
far
me, Captain.
Far away.
Captain Quince. Major Daggett.
What are you doing? I was singing, sir.
You call that singing?
Yes, I do. And I suppose it's a minority opinion.
Are you drunk, Captain?
No, sir. I can account for the singing, if you're interested, Major.
I'm only interested in stopping it. We've had enough bad music around here for one day.
I thought dress parade came off fine, sir. I was very proud of B Company.
Captain, I don't want to hear another reference to dress parade today.
Yes, sir.
It's over. That's the only good thing about it. It's over. I don't want to discuss it. I don't want to hear it discussed. That's an order, Captain.
Yes, sir.
I won't even ask if you heard the band. Did you hear the band?
Must have. I saw it. Seemed to me they marched real good.
No matter if you heard it or not, if that fellow and you call singing's a sample of your ear for music, that... marched real good?
I thought so, sir.
If I want marching, I'll get a company of infantry. From a band, Captain, I expect just one thing, music. You think I'm being unreasonable?
Kind of hard to get music out of busted instruments, I imagine.
I realize some of the pieces are quite old. Schultz tells me in the field they have problems with rust, sand foul in the cornet pistons, but busted instruments?
The report said the band was brawling over something Saturday night. Someone put his foot through a field drum. Some of the blowhorns got smashed.
You Read a report on a band brawl?
Mm-hmm. On your desk, Sunday morning, Major.
Oh. Well, I want to talk to the bandmaster, and if you'll stop delaying me, I will.
Sorry to hold you up, Major.
Lee. I'm sorry.
For what?
Well, I'm mad as the devil. Didn't mean to take it out on you.
I was handy.
And you were singing, don't forget. And it set me off.
Set Mr. Seibert off, too.
Fact of the matter is, we have guests on the post. I wanted to be especially proud of our band. Oh, and what they did to Boots and Saddles. I think it was Boots and Saddles. I gotta see Schultz.
Tell him I thought the band marched real good. Harrison?
Not me, Sergeant.
Well, we'd like to get that lumber loaded so you could run the wagon up to old Bedlam, unload it, and come back here and start all over.
No, I'm doing what I can. I swear I am.
You ain't ailing. You shake a leg.
Both of them shaking now, Sergeant.
All right, Harrison. Come out with it. I got about half a minute's patience left.
You know I'm a reasonable man. You know that right off. Well, if I'm not reasonable, maybe there's a cause.
I ain't got long to wait.
Like this contrary weather. It ought to be cooling off. Give a man a feel for hard work. It's got no right to be blazing hot this time of year.
You're asking for a change of weather?
I'd be obliged if you could arrange it, Sergeant. Anything, just any small thing would be an improvement.
Well, now, you just come to the right man, Harrison. Just for you, I'm going to change the weather. You mind now you ask me to do it?
Oh, I ask. I sure ask, all right.
Trooper Harrison?
Yes, Sergeant.
Report to the guardhouse.
Guardhouse? On what charge?
On the charge that you asked for. It takes you right out of the blazing sun. Of course, how are you going to get a breath of air or something else again? But seeing any small change would be an improvement.
Sergeant, I'll be getting back to my loading now.
I thought you wanted to change the weather.
One day I'm going to learn to keep my mouth shut around here.
That day comes, you write me a letter so I'll know.
You know I can't write.
I tell you one good thing, Harrison.
I just ain't rising to any more bait, Sergeant.
Fatigue's over in half an hour, and after supper...
There's a band concert, I know. Well, it ain't going to cool me off none. Not a cent's worth.
Only there ain't going to be no band concert. In fact, if Bandmaster Schultz can't explain himself any better to Major Daggett than he has so far...
Oh, my foot!
Maybe we heard the last toot ever from our regimental band.
You around, Pliny?
No.
What are you doing behind the pickle barrel? You drop a penny?
Are you alone, Captain?
Sure.
I'm not exactly open. It's almost 4:30.
You'd open at midnight to sell a 2-penny cigar. Now, come on out from behind that barrel.
Well, oh, my, it's unnerving. That's what it is.
What did you want, Captain?
What are you whispering about?
Well, you never know who's listening these days.
I'm listening. I'm hard put to hear you. Are you going to sell me a glass of beer, or do I have to draw it myself?
Ha-ha.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Who sent you?
Pliny, it's a hot day.
Oh, no, you don't, sir. I know an investigation when I see one. Well, you may tell that committee and Major Daggett and all the powers that be that I am living up to the letter of my agreement with the United States Army.
Maybe you ought to have a glass of beer, too.
It's not my concern if the regimental band can't play without instruments.
What about the band?
No beer, no band. Oh, I'll miss the drums. Won't you?
Plenty. What time of day do you start making sense?
Why, Captain, I believe you don't know. You came here in innocence. But these are dark days, and the seeds of distrust are on the wind.
This time I'm going into the canteen and get that beer.
There is no beer. There will be no beer. Beer is a closed issue. Poor Schultz. Poor Schultz.
You keep going from beer to band.
From no beer to no band. And you can thank Mrs. Feimster and her committee for that.
Mrs. Feimster's not doing anything. She's just visiting Fort Laramie.
Her visit was ill-timed. Just when Schultz needed new instruments the worst way. But alas, 5% of nothing will not buy French horns and trumpets. And, I will miss the drums. I'm still not reaching you, am I, Captain?
I know. No, you're not.
Then let me put it simply. A, B, C. A is for the agreement. Now then, 5% of all proceeds from the sale of beer I give to B, which is the band. From these monies, Schultz buys new instruments. That is, he did until... Oh, yes. Until C. C is for committee, headed by Mrs. Feimster. The Committee for Moral Improvement, if you will. And that means no beer. It follows, then, no beer, no proceeds, no band. I put that well, didn't I?
If you did, you better climb in that pickle barrel, Pliny. A settler that doesn't sell beer needs a real hiding place.
But the brine...
Salty.
Captain, I was just about to send for you.
This came from the settlers, Major. You got any idea what's going on around here?
Hold your voice down. Come here.
Pliny was whispering, too, for a while.
Now, listen to me, Lee. I get a better idea than anyone what's going on around here. Mrs. Feimster's in my office now. Let's go in here.
The army run by a woman now, Major?
That's not funny, Lee.
I don't mean it funny. I can't get a glass of beer. Pliny says that woman's why.
I've just learned from Washington that there's several thousand Mrs. Feimsters, Captain, and their ranks seem to be growing daily. Not only that, but there are also Mr. Feimsters, and their voices are getting louder every day.
Mrs. Feimster doesn't like beer?
On moral grounds.
Do you like whiskey better?
Whiskey isn't the issue. Beer, light wines, such as are sold at the sutler's canteen.
Then she likes whiskey better.
She wouldn't see it that way. Besides, it isn't just the beer. That's just part of their plan for moral improvement. They want to see that all posts have libraries, more recreational facilities, concerts.
From the regimental band playing on no instruments?
Well, Mrs. Feimster realizes the problem there.
I got nothing against libraries, recreation. We need them. But do you think we got any kind of a drinking problem at Fort Laramie?
I've never been aware of one.
If we had one, you'd be aware of it. We all would. And if we had one, it wouldn't be on account of beer served to the settlers.
I know that, Lee. You act like this was up to me. Well, let me assure you, it isn't.
Mrs. Feimster, post commander?
I'm still in command here, and that means I still follow orders from Washington. That's where the real pressure's coming from. They've banned the sale of beer at Fort Sully, Fort McPherson, and Fort Totten. And I can't keep them from banning it here.
That brings us back to whiskey again. If a man can't get a glass of beer on the post, he'll go off the post. You think Mrs. Feimster knows what a hog ranch is?
A whiskey ranch? I doubt it.
Well, they got them now, all around Fort Sully and Fort Totten. And men that used to drink beer at those posts are stealing off and rotting their insides on hog ranch whiskey.
You seem pretty sure of your facts, Lee.
Ask Major Trucks. He got the information at the post surgeon's meeting last month at Fort Randall. Both surgeons are recommending that they reopen the canteen.
I wonder. Just wonder. No, it'd never work.
What wouldn't work?
I don't think even Major Trucks could convince Mrs. Feimster she was short-sighted.
I was thinking more of letting Mrs. Feimster make her own decision about being short-sighted.
You haven't met her, have you?
No, I'm kind of looking forward to it.
Now, Lee,
I'd like to volunteer to show Mrs. Feimster around the post tomorrow, Major.
Volunteer?
You might just tell her I'll call for her tomorrow, right after guard mount. Afternoon to you, Major. In time, we'd want to build a library building separate, but that takes time. Right now, there's only one building not being put to use.
Well, I'm sure I don't know where that is, Captain. Goodness knows we've covered most of the post.
Except the sutler's, ma'am, is just ahead.
But surely the sutler's store isn't vacant.
Not the store, just the canteen. It's part of the same building.
Is that where they keep beer?
When they had it, ma'am.
My dear young man, I have never set foot in a saloon, and I don't intend to go now.
The saloon's where they sell liquor, ma'am. This canteen's an empty room and a counter. But if you don't want to look at it,
You're certain there's nothing in the nature of spirits in there.
I give you my word, Mrs. Feimster. There isn't a sign of spirit in there now.
Very well, then. I suppose I should take the long view. After all, the library is the important thing. But in a saloon...
A canteen.
I'll take your word there's a difference, Captain.
After you, ma'am.
Thank you, Captain.
Canteen straight ahead, Mrs. Feimster.
Now then, Pliny, I got a long order here. Best you write it down.
Just a moment, Sergeant. Just a moment. Captain?
Yes, Pliny? Oh, have you met Mrs. Feimster? This is Pliny Burgess, the sutler.
Mr. Burgess?
Madam. Now, Captain, you know very well the canteen is... well, it's...
Yeah, we know, Pliny. We come to see how the room would do for a library.
A library? You mean books. And books in there?
We'll just look it over. You mind your customer over there.
Oh, well, I don't know.
I got cash money, Pliny.
Coming. Yes, indeed. In fact, I'm here.
Well, Mrs. Feimster?
Well, yes, I think perhaps you may be right, Captain.
Lemon extract.
This room would make...
I want all the lemon extract you got. All the vanilla, peppermint, ginger.
All?
Every drop. Then I want everything in stock in the way of cinnamon, red pepper sauces, bay rum... You got any smelly water, Pliny?
Smelly? No, I don't believe I have any. Oh, no.
You're not paying much mind to the room, ma'am.
Hey? Yes, it's first rate. Splendid.
O.D. something, Pliny.
O.D.? Smelly.
Excuse me, ma'am. You know what I'm trying to say.
I?
You know, you women folks uses it sometimes. Smells right nice. O.D.?
O.D. cologne.
Oh, that's it, ma'am. Thank you kindly. I'll take all you got, Pliny.
All I've got.
Seems to me we could get several hundred books in here, Mrs. Feimster. Now, along that wall there...
A minute, Captain. Young man.
You talking to me, ma'am?
I am indeed. Your order to Mr. Burgess, all the lemon extract, all the cologne.
Yes, ma'am.
May I ask what you're planning to do with it?
Why, drink it, ma'am.
Drink it?
Well, maybe not all of it. I'll sell some, chances are. Maybe give some now and again to my friends. But...
Drink it?
Why, ma'am, you strain extract or that O.D. stuff through some coarse bread, you got a fine batch of alcohol.
Oh, my.
Now, myself, I'd rather have a glass of beer, but we can't get that no more here. So, well, man's left to his own devices, you might say.
Thank you, Gorse.
I just hope it did the trick, Captain.
Right now, we almost have this added up. So let me see what that... That comes to $57.43, Sergeant.
Pliny,
I've been thinking this over.
Huh? Oh. Well, now, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. Now, since you're such a good customer, I'm going to let you have a whole thing for $57.33.
You drink it, Pliny. I'm going to Laramie Village for a beer.
Why, Captain, you've come to say goodbye.
No, I wasn't sure I'd be welcome, Mrs. Feenster. Major tells me you were a while settling down.
I very nearly fainted. You may as well know that.
Well, if it'd make you feel any better, it was all made up for your benefit, ma'am.
So Major Daggett assured me. Oh, my, Captain. I'm going back to Washington with a brand new outlook. I think our Committee on Moral Improvement may just revise its thinking a bit.
You talked to the post-surgeon?
Indeed, I did. I'm taking the entire matter up with all of official Washington.
Yes, ma'am.
And I want to thank you for opening my eyes, Captain. And that nice orderly of yours.
Harrison?
Yes, Trooper Harrison. He's the one who makes those nice outdoor stoves.
He is?
He was cooking last evening down by the Laramie River. I was out for my evening constitutional, and he explained it all to me about his stove. A retort, a condenser, and a receiver.
Harrison, he called it a stove?
Oh, he had some other name for it. A foolish name, too.
A foolish name like a still?
Yes, but I could see it was a stove. He's promised to send me the plans, show me just how to make it.
Mrs. Feimster, that stove, now it's just...
Oh, my goodness, the stage is ready. Goodbye, Captain.
Goodbye, Mrs. Feimster.
Laramie is produced and directed by Norman MacDonald and stars Raymond Burr as Lee Quince, Captain of Cavalry, with Vic Perrin as Sergeant Gorse. The script was specially written for Fort Laramie by Kathleen Height, with sound patterns by Bill James and Ray Kemper, musical supervision by Amerigo Marino. Featured in the cast were Howard McNear, Jeanette Nolan, and Sam Edwards. Jack Moyles is Major Daggett, and Harry Bartell is Lieutenant Syberts.
Company, attention! Dismiss!
Next week, another transcribed story of the Northwest frontier and the troopers who fought under Lee Quince, Captain of Cavalry. Are you a student, businessman, musician, stamp collector? No matter what your profession or age, your opposite number in some faraway country wants to know about you and to tell you about his own life and thoughts. CBS Radio urges you to send your name to Letters from Abroad, 45 East 65th Street, New York City, mentioning your age, occupation, and interests. They'll find you a suitable correspondent in the country of your choice. We'll be right back.
Fort Laramie, on Tuned to Yesterday from October 14th, 1956 on CBS. It's an hour of Westerns on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. And now time for the Cisco Kid, the 231st program in the series of over 300 broadcasts starring Jack Mather and Harry Lang. Mather had worked with shows like Fibber McGee and Molly. He was a regular on the Rocky Fortune series with Frank Sinatra, but after landing the gig with the Cisco Kid, pretty much stayed with it through the rest of his radio career. This episode called The Black Kerchief.
Here's adventure. Here's romance. Here's the famous Robin Hood of the Old West.
Cisco, the sheriff, he is getting closer.
This way, Pancho, Vámonos.
The Cisco Kid. The Cisco Kid in our gripping story, The Black Kerchief. In the Old West, the schemes used by road agents or stagecoach robbers to signal Confederates were many. One of the most ingenious of these schemes was used by Big Mac Tulsa, who worked from the inside as stage driver. Big Mac Tulsa was an expert driver. He had a hearty manner, a booming voice, and no more conscience than a striking rattler. As our story opens, the stage for Mountain Rock is about to start its daily run out of the town of Sandstone when...
Tulsa! Hey, you, Tulsa!
What do you want, Rig?
Hold it for a few minutes. We're putting a box of gold aboard.
Gold, huh? How much?
I don't know, but you gotta haul it over to Mountain Rock in time to make the eastbound train.
All right.
Maybe I better go along with you. Last time you had a haul of gold, you got held up.
You don't need to go, Riggs. You're sending along a shotgun messenger. What more do you want?
Look, Tulsa, I ain't only the owner of this stage line. I'm the sheriff, too. So if I want to ride
all
with
right,
you...
All right, it don't make no difference to me. I was just trying to save you a mighty dusty ride. And what with you telling me all the things you got to do around here...
Yeah, you're right about that. I guess I don't need to go. You can plan to start in 5 minutes.
I'll be right back.
And where are you going?
Going to get me another kerchief to take along. So blasted much of that alkali dust that one ain't enough.
Well, hustle. Remember, you gotta make that trade.
Me, Robley, this is a waste of time.
What do you mean, a waste of time?
Riding clear over here from Mountain Rock on the chance Tulsa may be carrying a box of gold.
We made out all right 3 weeks ago, didn't we? 25,000 split three ways between you and me and Tulsa.
Yeah, but...
As far as I'm concerned, I don't mind riding over here a dozen times or so for nothing. Well, we can pick up that kind of money on one good 10-strike. Quit your grumbling. Get them horses over behind the boulders.
All right.
Hey, here comes the stage, Haim. Just round the bend down below.
Be right with you, Robley. Is Tulsa wearing the black kerchief?
Yeah. By thunder, he is. He's got gold aboard, Haim.
Good. I'll get that shotgun messenger.
Make sure that rifle's in working order.
Yep. Yeah, she's all ready.
And remember this, Haim. We fire a few shots at Tulsa, and he fires a few shots at us after you get the messenger. Just to make it look right to any passengers he might be carrying.
Yeah, I know. Then he drives the stage on back to Sandstone and reports the holdup.
Given the wrong description of us. Now, the stage is getting closer, Haim. Better draw a bead on that messenger.
Yep. I got him dead center. You say when, Rubley?
Not yet. Let him get a little closer. All right, now. Nice. Got him plumb center. Pull that mask over your face and come on. Stop them horses, driver!
Hold!
Turn up the passengers, Haim.
Right.
Come on out of there, mister. One passenger, partner.
All right. You, driver, throw down that box.
Why, you blasted coyotes.
Throw down the box, I said.
Well, I got no choice. I'll throw down the box. There you are, you buzzards.
Now I'll throw down these guns on you.
Look out, partner!
Grab that box and let's get out of here. That driver's a shooting fool.
Yep.
Confound him. I got a great mind to go after him.
No, you better not, driver. One of those bullets hit me in the shoulder.
Oh, no. Well, by thunder, that's too bad, Mr. Winter. I'll get you right back to Sandstone in a hurry. Get into the coach and we'll go.
Yes, we better. I don't think it's serious, but I'd like to get to a doctor.
Back! Back!
Pancho still not know why we ride to the town of Sandstone, Cisco.
You do not know, Pancho?
Pancho not know.
Well, I'm certain I told you, Chico.
Pancho not remember, Cisco.
Very well, then I'll tell you again. And this time, try to remember.
See, I try to remember.
We are riding to the town of Sandstone because Senor Riggs wants to talk to us.
What about, Cisco? What about?
Well, the message did not say.
No.
But I imagine he wants to talk to us about the holdup of one of his stages some weeks ago.
Senor Riggs wants us to find the bandidos?
Oh, it's possible. He wants us to help.
But Senor Riggs, the sheriff, too, no?
See, he's the sheriff, Pancho.
Mm-hmm.
But after he bought the stagecoach line, his duties as owner kept him from working full-time as the sheriff.
Pancho, I think the people's like this.
Well, the only one who has suffered has been Senor Riggs himself.
See?
Therefore, there have been no complaints from the people.
No complaints from the people.
I understand Senor Riggs has offered to resign as sheriff, but the people of the county will not have it.
Here come the stagecoach now, Cisco.
See. According to the schedule Senor Riggs sent us, the stage should not be coming this way. It should be on its way to Martin Rock.
That's right by here, Cisco.
See. Let us try to find out what is wrong.
Oh,
there,
boy. Oh, look, ho, look, ho.
What is the matter, Senor Driver?
None of your blasted business.
Yes! And Driver, I told you much then, Cisco.
No, he did not for a fact, Pancho. Come, we'll follow the stage in and find out at the station. Up, Diablo,
go! Go, Logo, go now, go, go!
Oh, Diablo,
ho! Oh, Logo, look, ho!
Well, let's leave our horses here, Pancho. Mingle with that crowd of people at the stagecoach station.
Stagecoach get in, Cisco.
See, and it attracted a lot of people to the station. Let us wait right here and listen, amigo.
Wait right here and listen. Oh, there's Senor Riggs, Cisco.
See, I see him. He's helping a passenger out of the coach.
Uh-oh. The passenger wounded, no?
See, listen, Pancho, listen.
Somebody go get the doctor.
I will.
Wound isn't a bad one, but it better be looked at.
What's the story on this, Tulsa?
Story is, we was held up by a gang of road agents, Riggs. Must have been five or six of them. All big fellas.
I only saw two, but...
Rest of them was over behind the boulders. They got the shotgun messenger, Riggs, and then I opened fire on them. Of course, they shot back, and one of their bullets must have hit Mr. Winter here. Then they run.
Go on, Tulsa.
That's about all, except I had to throw down the box. I tell you, that was a nerve-wracking experience, Riggs. And I got to have a day off.
Well, that's what you said after the last holdup.
Well, that's what I'm saying now, too. Now, here comes the doc.
What do you think of that story, Cisco?
I do not know, Pancho. Let us go talk to Senor Riggs.
Hey.
Senor Riggs!
Oh, howdy, Cisco.
Pancho? Buenos dias, Senor Riggs.
Buenos dias, Senor Riggs.
Mighty glad you got here. I've just had another one of my stages held up in Ross.
Say, we were just listening, Senor. May we talk in your office?
Well, sure thing. Come on.
Come on, Pancho.
Yeah, I come.
Sit down, boys.
Gracias, senor.
Gracias, senor.
Cisco, I need your help.
You may have our help, senor. Gladly.
Now, you heard Tulsa say maybe that there was five or six bandits in that gang.
See?
So we got that much to go by. Now,
at the moment, Senor Riggs, I am not as interested in that gang as I am in your driver, Tulsa.
Huh? He's not nice to us, senor.
He said he opened fire on the bandidos.
Well, that's right.
And that the bandidos ran away with the gold box.
Yeah?
If there were five or six bandidos, why did not at least one of their bullets hit Senor Tulsa?
Oh, I don't know about that, Cisco.
Please
but...
let me finish, senor. Also, why should a man with courage enough to fire on five or six bandidos have to have a day off to get back his nerve?
Si, senor. Why?
That's the way Tulsa is, Cisco.
Did you have no shotgun messenger on that trip?
Sure. Tulsa told me he got shot down. I send a couple of the boys to bring in his body.
I'll be back tomorrow, Riggs.
Well, who are these two hombres?
One of them's a Cisco Kid, and the other's his partner, Pancho.
Oh?
They're here to help...
Un momento, Senor Riggs. We are here to pay our respects to Senor Riggs, Tulsa.
I see. Well, anyway, be back tomorrow.
Why'd you break in on me like that, Cisco?
I thought it best that Tulsa not know too much, Senor.
Oh, now, look here. If you suspect him, you're wrong.
Perhaps. Nevertheless, if you have no objections, Pancho and I will trail him and find out where he goes tonight. For as far as I am concerned, that hombre's story does not ring true.
Me, Tulsa. Open the door, Robley.
Wait a minute. Come on in.
Howdy, Haim.
Howdy.
Howdy, Robley.
Tulsa.
Thunder, it's a long ride over here to Mountain Rock.
Yeah, the back room of this cafe is a good place to meet. Only hombres like us use this cafe. Here's your share of the gold in this little sack, Tulsa. Here's the figures on how much gold is in the box. Look it over.
I will in a minute. That Cisco Kid's around here, boys.
Huh? Cisco? How do you know?
He was in Riggs's office talking with him before I left. I got a hunch he's going to help Riggs on this holdup business.
Why, that's easy. We'll just get Cisco.
I ain't so sure it'll be easy, Robley. That Cisco Kid's a mighty bad hombre. Mighty bad.
Is he on his way over here, Tulsa?
I don't know. Maybe, maybe not. Just thought I'd tell you about him so you can be on the watch for him.
I sure ain't gonna worry about him. If he shows up here, there's plenty of hombres around here that'd like to gun him down. Now, come on out in the cafe. I'm hungry.
Coming here, Cisco.
See, behind that cafe.
Yeah.
And there's the horse.
Uh-huh.
That is Tulsa's horse. Oh, they have a hole.
Oh, look, oh, look, oh, oh. This the outlaw's cafe, no?
See, I believe so, if I remember correctly. Come on, let us go in, Pancho.
Tulsa's hombre in there, no?
Probably. It's just getting dark, Chico. About the time he would want to eat.
He want to eat?
Of course I know you want to eat, amigo. You always want to eat.
Always.
All right, come on. Your guns loosen the holsters. We might have trouble in this cafe.
What do you do about the Tulsa hombre, Cisco? Got no proofs?
The time being, all I want to know is who Tulsa is with. Then we will make our plans accordingly.
There, the Tulsa hombre over at the corner table, Cisco.
Say, do not stare at him, Pancho. We'll take that table over there.
Tulsa with two hombres, Cisco. They look at us.
There goes Tulsa out into a back room to the cafe. He must think we did not see him.
But the hombres come over here.
So, you're the Cisco Kid, huh?
That is what I am called, hombre. What about it?
Yeah, what about it, hombre?
You ain't welcome in here.
Do you two own this cafe?
We don't have to own it.
Hey, boys! This here's the Cisco Kid. How about it? We want him snooping around in here? Well, let's throw him out.
Do not throw us out, hombre. Do be careful. This ghost passenger tell us about you.
What
maybe
about your keto?
A stagecoach passenger, huh? Well, we're mighty glad to know that.
The passenger told us nothing, hombre. Mother mia, Pancho, what
come
are
on,
you
trying...
Come on, boys.
Get your back to the wall, Pancho.
We'll show these hombres whether they can throw us out or not.
Get after him, boy.
Ain't that you? Ain't that you? Too many hombres, Cisco.
Keep fighting, Pancho. We are down. We will have no chance.
Why don't you keep fighting us? Look out, Cisco. Hombre, throw the gun.
I sure am. And at this distance, Cisco, I can't miss.
Hey, oh, Cisco. Cisco, you shot? Tell Pancho you're dead, no?
It may be that the gunman's bullet found its mark. In just a moment, we'll return to The Cisco Kid. back to the Cisco Kid in our gripping story, The Black Kerchief. The stage driver, Tulsa, working with the road agents, Robley and Haim, wore a black kerchief as a signal to the waiting bandits that he was carrying gold on the stage, whereupon the bandits shot down the messenger and, to fool any passengers, pretended to exchange shots with Tulsa. In the melee, the passenger, a man named Winter, was wounded. But Tulsa's story of trying to fight off the bandits did not ring true to the Cisco Kid, and he and Pancho trailed Tulsa to the Outlaws' Cafe in the neighboring town of Mountain Rock. A fight ensued. A shot was fired at Cisco, and now...
Cisco, you shot, no?
No, the bullet missed me, Pancho. The powder only burned my face. Where is that hombre who shot at me?
He run out the door, Cisco. Other hombre run out, too.
And let us fight our way out of here, amigo. This way.
Out the back door, Cisco.
Hey, Pancho, where our horses are. So you would stop me, hombre? We'll see about that. All right, the way is clear, Pancho. Make a run for it.
Pancho, run, Cisco. Nobody here in the back room, Cisco.
Tulsa and those other two hombres have left. Come, out this door. To our horses, Pancho.
Why the hombres leave so quick, Cisco?
On account of something you said, Pancho. You talk too much.
What Pancho say, Cisco?
You said that stagecoach passenger told us about those bandidos.
Well, Pancho say maybe, Cisco. And Pancho think if Pancho say that, bandidos look guilty, no?
What you have done is to put that passenger's life in grave danger.
Danger?
Now those bandidos will think he could identify them and they will try to kill him. Oh, diablo.
Oh, oh, lobo, lobo.
We must get back to Sandstone. We must get there as soon as possible. Pop, diablo.
Go, lobo, go now. Go, go, go.
You're sure that's what Cisco's partner said, Haim?
Of course I'm sure. I got ears, ain't I?
That's what he said, Tulsa. I heard him, too. He said that stagecoach passenger told him and Cisco bought us.
Yeah, and that means about the holdup.
Well, he may have at that. That's probably the reason Cisco followed me over to the cafe. Because that passenger suspected me. I don't know why he would, though.
You can't never tell, Tulsa. And we can't afford to take chances.
Only thing to do is to finish the hombre off.
That's right. Where is he, Tulsa?
Before I left, I found out he's going to stay over to the doc's house tonight. That wound was worse than I thought.
Which one of us got him, anyway?
I did. Make it look more like a holdup if you can take back a wounded passenger. But he... don't know I got him. He thinks one of you hombres did.
Another 10 minutes and he won't do no more thinking about anything. Let's get there. Come on.
Hurry up. Come on. Get him.
Now we're back in the Sandstone, Cisco. Where's the passenger?
We'll have to find out from Senor Riggs. He may be at Senor Riggs' house. We will see. Hold the other.
Hold, 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 hold.
You stay here, Pancho. Hey. I will go to the door.
Huh?
Be right there. Ah, evening, Cisco. You found out anything?
I do not know yet, Senor Riggs. But tell me, where is that passenger staying?
Oh, Mr. Winters?
Si.
Why, he's at the doc's house tonight. The doc thought he'd better...
And where is the doctor's house?
It's the house at the end of the street on that side, Cisco, but I...
I'll be back later to talk with you, senor. Right now, there is no time to spare.
Oh, wait a minute, Cisco.
I am sorry, senor. There is no time to wait. Down the street, Pancho.
Down the street.
Up, Gabriel.
Go, Lobo, go now. Which place we go, Cisco?
To the doctor's house. There are three horses at the side of the house. The bandidos are already there. We'll ride around to the back. This way, though. Come on.
This way, Lobo, go.
There are the hombres, Pancho.
Where?
Just about to raise that window. Into them, Diablo. Come on.
Into them, Lobo. Go.
Look out, Tulsa.
I'll break that blasted Cisco kid off his horse.
Cisco kid, we're glad to get down from his horse and talk with you, Tulsa, like this.
Get him, Lobo. Yeah, I'll get him. I'll get the fat one.
Go on, I'll get the fat one, too, hombre, too. I get...
Kick Cisco's feet out from under him,
I do not think you will, hombre.
Watch. Hit him, Tulsa. Now, come on. Let's get out of here, quick.
Pancho. Pancho, are you all right?
Pancho, all right, Cisco. Pancho just get gun whipped a little. Oh, good thing Pancho got a hard head. What happened to you, Cisco?
Those hombres tripped me up, Pancho. Huh? I was looking at you. Afraid you had been badly hurt.
Hey, what's going on? What's going on here, Cisco?
As Sheriff, Senor Riggs, you had better put a deputy or two on guard here at the doctor's house for the rest of the night.
Well, what for?
Because three hombres came here to kill the stagecoach passenger, Senor Winters.
What are you talking about? Who were they?
One of them was your driver, Tulsa.
What? Oh, you must have that wrong, Cisco.
No, Senor Riggs, I have not.
I am convinced that that hombre is in with the bandidos who have twice held up your stagecoach.
And Pancho sure too, no?
But as yet, I have no proof.
What'd you get there, Cisco?
Part of a neckerchief, Pancho.
A neckerchief?
I must have grabbed it from around Tulsa's neck as I was falling.
Red kerchief. Yeah, it's the color Tulsa always wears.
He was not wearing a red neckerchief this morning, senor. He was wearing a black one.
Come to think of it, he was at that. And come to think of it, when I told him he'd be carrying gold on the trip, he went and got another kerchief.
I am glad to know that, Senor Riggs. It may be just the thing that will trap that hombre. Now, let us go to your home and plan out exactly what we are going to do. We will stop here, Pancho.
Yes.
From here, we can see everything that goes on. Whatever.
Oh, look, oh, look, oh. Cisco got the field glasses?
Si, Pancho.
Why we come up here, Cisco?
You heard the plan we talked about last night, Chico.
We come here to look down on the holdup, no?
Si. Senor Riggs was to tell Tulsa he was to carry another box of gold.
Si.
He was also to tell him that you and I had left the country.
Si, left the country.
And finally, he was to tell Tulsa that he had complete confidence in him. So now... there's the stagecoach, Pancho.
Pancho, see the stagecoach, Cisco.
Those bandidos should be right below us if this is to be a holdup.
What color neckerchief this Tulsa wears, Cisco?
It's a red neckerchief.
Red neckerchief.
Wait. Now he is changing it. The other neckerchief is black. There's no question, Chico, but what that is a signal.
It's a signal.
Come, we'll ride down the trail.
See?
This time we will have our proof.
Cisco, catch those bandidos.
We will see. Let us get down there, Pancho. Up, Diablo, come on.
Go, Lobo, go now. Go! Go!
Comes, Aim.
No shotgun messenger this time.
That's kind of funny. Don't seem as if Riggs had sent out a box of gold without a messenger along.
Maybe he couldn't get nobody to go along as messenger, what with two of them being shot down lately.
Yeah, that might be it. Anyway, Tulks is wearing the black kerchief. That's the signal. All right, now. Hold back them horses, driver.
Yep. Hold on.
Throw down that box.
Sure thing. Only you ain't got to be careful of what you say, boys. I'm teaming this trip alone.
No passengers, neither?
Nope. Marry a passenger. There's your box. Might as well open her up and make the split right here.
Hey, what's the horse carrying on about?
We're going to find out, Omri, right now. Into them, Diablo. Come on.
Why, thunder, it's a trick.
You all right, Omri?
Come down off that stage.
Hey, let go. Now we'll see about you.
I'll kill you for this.
That I doubt.
Stand back away from him, Tulsa. Let me get a shot at him.
How can I stand back?
You're not shooting, Cisco, hombre. Not while Pancho get the bullwhip.
No!
Pancho grabbed the gun with the bullwhip, no?
One more punch will fix you, hombre. And now for you.
Easy, Cisco, easy.
Very well, then. Get your hands up, all three of you. Quickly. Gone.
Nice work, Cisco. Me and the boys got here a little too late to see the fun, but I guess you got things under control.
Here are your prisoners, Senor Riggs. And I believe that with some questioning, you can recover much of your stolen gold.
Cisco, I'm going to get you for this.
Where you are going, hombre, you will have no chance to get anyone. And I would venture a guess that never again will you wear a black neckerchief.
Cisco.
Si, Pancho.
Those bandidos not trouble us no more.
Oh, I'm sure they will not trouble us, amigo. Now that they are out of the way, what would you like to do?
Well, sometimes, Cisco.
Si?
Sometimes, Pancho likes Cisco to learn Pancho to swim.
To do what? To swim?
Si, to swim.
But, amigo, you have always been afraid of the water.
Pancho got a scheme now, Cisco. Pancho can swim a long ways.
You think you can swim a long ways?
See, when Cisco learned Pancho to swim.
Well, of course, I will teach you to swim, but
what is this scheme of yours?
But can't you go into the river, Cisco?
See, into the river.
Can't you swim for the other shore, no?
You will swim for the other shore, see?
See, can't you swim hard, Cisco? But very soon, can't you get tired?
Well, what will you do when you get tired, Cisco?
Can't you stop swimming with the arms and the legs?
But if you stop swimming with your arms and legs, then you will sink.
No, Pancho not sink. Pancho keep going with Pancho's head.
You'll keep going with your head?
See, with the head.
Well, I do not understand, amigo. How can you keep going with your head?
It's easy, Cisco. Whenever Pancho get all tired out...
See?
Pancho's head begins to swim.
Oh, Pancho!
Oh, Cisco!
And so ends another exciting adventure with O. Henry's famous Robin Hood of the West, the Cisco Kid.
The Cisco Kid on Tuned to Yesterday, a syndicated recording from 1948. And that wraps up this hour of Radio Westerns on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from the golden age of radio. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levanier. Thanks for tuning in.